And so we're doing this series, House on Fire. And again, I want you to understand the heart behind this. I have no desire to stand up here and rant and talk about how evil people are. And we're, that's not what this is going to be. This is going to be looking at what the Bible says and putting things in their rightful place. I want to start with an umbrella verse for this series, just to kind of get us going with this. Ephesians 6:12 says this: "Our fight is not against people on earth, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world." Our fight, too many, I'll be honest, too many churches and even pastors have made the fight against people. Yeah. Our fight isn't against people. We love people. Our fight is against the spiritual. Our fight is against the spiritual, and I want that to be our posture in this series. I'm not a general standing on stage saying, we're going to war with people. That's not what Jesus did. But there is a battle taking place, and it's in the spiritual realm. So many people today have fallen into the trap of believing that in order to support a person, you have to support their ideology. And this is the first time in human history where society says, you can't do that. If you support me, you have to support my ideology. And that removes all discussion, that removes all debate, and it forces one way of thinking. It's a false way of thinking, because I can fully support and love a person without promoting what they believe. So when we look at where we're at as a society today, the world we now live in has become profoundly confusing and for many, disturbing. Things once regarded as obvious and irrefutable values, even 10 to 15 years ago, are now viewed as fringe, extreme, dangerous beliefs. When 10 to 15 years ago, they were irrefutable, universal values for at least 95% of our population. Things are moving so quickly, and things that were unquestioned truth, according to society, are no longer. And now these problems out there, the division out there, it used to be compartmentalized with outside the home. Now it is in the home. And many families, even at the dinner table, and parents with kids are divided over all of these topics and things that are happening in society today. And it's causing pain and division in many homes. Many in the younger generation are experiencing a widening divide between what their peers are saying and what their parents are believing and saying at home. Even the older generation, even believers, Christians, are now wondering if the views they once held their entire lives are actually true. Are they true? Or are they simply the result of their upbringing? And do I need to move along with the evolution of truth? Our world finds itself more divided than ever before over some of the most basic aspects of human existence, the first time in human history. And as a result, the church and Christianity as we know it in the West is taking a very big hit. There was an article that CNN came out with in 2019, and it's titled, "Decline of Christianity Shows No Signs of Stopping." And it was 2019, before the pandemic. The data we do have from 50 years of research by the General Social Survey and Pew's own survey, Pew Research, of 15,000 adults in 2019 indicates the current trend is inexorable. People are giving up on Christianity. They will continue to do so. And if you're trying to predict the future religious landscape in America, according to Pew Research, the question is not whether Christianity will decline, it's how fast and how far. Now, this is obviously leaving out the equation of the Holy Spirit and revival and what God wants to do when God wants to do it. But I will say this, Christianity is not disappearing on earth. It is disappearing here. Christianity is exploding like never before in the global South, in Latin America, South America, Africa, Asia. There are more Christians in the Southern hemisphere of the world by far than the Northern. I'm telling you, it is exploding in different parts of the world. It is deteriorating here because of the subject we're going to talk about today, because truth is deteriorating here. So what do we do about the truth. What do we believe is true? Jesus had a very famous conversation with Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who was holding Jesus on trial before Jesus would go to the cross. It's a very famous conversation, and it takes place in John 18, and it says this starting in verse 37. So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. This is why I was born." Now, let me just say this. If Jesus is talking to me and he says, "This is why I was born," I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I want to know, why was Jesus born and why did he come into the world? To testify to what? The truth. I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth, Jesus says, hears and listens carefully to my voice. Pilate said to him scornfully, or in other words, sarcastically, "What is truth? What even is truth?" That question in sarcasm is the question, the anthem of so many people in our culture and society today. We would say, "The truth is this," and they would say, "The truth, but my truth, or what I feel, or truth is what's true for you. It's not what's true for me." And that sounds so good, but it's not true. So Jesus, in a moment and a time where it was ridiculously hard, in a time, right, in the Roman Empire, and in a moment with the Roman governor, it could not get harder or more difficult to tell the truth. But Jesus does, and he doesn't hold back. He bluntly says the truth, who he is and what he came to do. The interaction with Pilate and Jesus shows us three quick things. It shows us that Jesus' validation of exclusive and absolute truth, exclusive truth. So he says, "So you are the king?" And Jesus says, "Yes, you say correctly, I am a king. And I came to testify to the truth." It also shows us Jesus' desire for us to believe the truth. His desire is for us to hear the truth, listen to his voice, and side with him with truth. And then Pilate's rejection of truth is the third thing we notice in the story. And Pilate represents society. So here we have Jesus saying, "This is truth. This is why I came." And then Pilate, representing society and culture, scoffs at Jesus in the same way so many people in the world do at Christianity today. "You say that's true? What is truth?" Things don't change like this. It's the same mentalities and the same questions and the same things happening all the time, no matter what century we live in. But today, we need to know the truth. And again, whether this is your home church or not, I wanna say this. I'm not going into the details of these certain topics today. So if today's the day you brought a friend and you're like, I don't know if I can stay around. You're like hyperventilating, don't. You're fine. Weeks 2 and 4, we're going in. I'm just letting you know, okay? We're gonna go in a little bit. But today you're safe. Okay, so I just want to say, I want you to catch, though, my pastor's heart in this. I was actually hanging out with a couple friends yesterday at their house, and I was talking to them, and I said, one of the hardest parts about my job, top three hardest parts about my job, is the fact that I genuinely love people so much, but there will be a day I stand before God, and I will be held accountable for preaching the truth of the Word of God. One of the most difficult parts of my job is teaching what the Bible says, but also letting you know that I genuinely and truly love you. I do. And I think it's very important for us to remember that as we go through this. So what is truth? A few points today. Number one, truth is divine. Truth is divine. All truth comes from the infinite, omniscient, all-wise God in heaven. All truth. All truth comes down from above and makes its way in. It does not come from within and make its way out. Truth comes from above and makes its way in. Truth rules and reigns over us. How many of you guys can help me with this? What is this called? Have you ever stopped and wondered why this little thing is called a ruler? Have you ever thought about that? A ruler. I mean, I don't even know if I've ever even used this for a ruler until like today for this illustration, because I always played drums with it, hit people in class with it. I always got in trouble with it. But this is a ruler, and it comes from the Latin word from the 15th century, regula, which means to have control over, to rule over, to regulate, to be the final say. And the reason why it's so important that this has the final say is because this measures things and gives us the reality. So this is my phone. And I could look at the phone and I could give my best guess on the measurements of this phone. I could look at it and go, I feel like it's this by this. And I did that earlier. And I was wrong. You wanna know how I was wrong? Because I measured it. I measured it. And it's 5.5 inches by 2.5 inches. I guess 6 by 3. I'm like, that's not 3 inches. What was I even thinking, right? But I didn't know it until I measured it. Because what this says is reality. Can you imagine being on a construction site and the contractor's coming out and they're about to start the framing and they've got all the 2x4s and they're measuring the 2x4s. They've got the plans. There's an objective. We're gonna go from here and we're gonna build that. And they have all the tape measures and they're cutting and they're measuring. And can you imagine if one of the workers shows up that morning and goes, hey, I know you're measuring that at 6.5 feet or whatever it is, but I just woke up this morning and I really feel like if we say these are not 8 feet long, but they're 10 feet long, I feel like we can save a lot of money by the extra 2 feet we will gain on the end of these 2x4s. And the other guys go, I like the way you're thinking. But there's one thing wrong. It's not true. Because when they measure it, they're gonna find out that it's not 10 feet long. They're gonna find out that it's 8 feet long. Why? Because they measured it. We need a ruler. We need a standard. We need a ruler. We need a God that's gonna say, here's the reality. Measure everything based off of what I say. Because we're called to build something. We're called to build the church. We're called to build the kingdom of God. And if we get the measurements wrong, what we're building is gonna be a disaster. And if we look at the American church and we think and we look at it at large and say, it's a disaster, I'll tell you why. We don't want to abide by the ruler. We're measuring our own feelings and thoughts in accordance to what we want rather than what God says. God is truth, and truth comes from God. Psalm 31:5 says, into your hands, this is King David, into your hands I commit my spirit, redeem me, O Lord, the God of what? Truth. The God of truth means God is truth and everything is measured by who God is and what God says. Now, I'm speaking to believers today to encourage you with what our standard is. I'm speaking to you to encourage you that there's a call. If we're gonna say I'm a Christian, there's a call and there's a standard for what that means. There's a standard. There's a ruler. God is the source of all truth. He's the author of all truth, and he's the architect of all truth. Truth is whatever God says something is. Sin is whatever God says sin is. Truth is whatever he says it is, and sin is whatever he says it is. Family is whatever God says family is. Marriage is whatever God says marriage is. The way to salvation, the way to eternal life is whatever God says salvation is and the path to, whatever he says the path to eternity is. God is the sole definer and determiner of all truth. It's divine. Number two, truth is absolute. Truth is absolute. The truth of God reigns as the highest authority in the world and in the church. Everything has to yield to the truth. I want you to stay with me. The truth has the first and final say. The truth by nature is exclusive and cannot be inclusive. By definition and nature, it cannot be inclusive. The truth is never both and it's always either or. It makes very clear distinctions between what is right and what is wrong. And it's never, never relative, and it's never conditional. If something is relative, that's fine, it's just not true. I can say what I believe is truth, but if it's subjective, it's not the truth, it's an idea or an opinion. I can't say my truth. I can philosophically say It's my idea, my opinion. But by the definition of truth, not my definition, the definition of truth, it can't be mine. It has to be the truth. Truth draws a line in the sand between what is holy and what is unholy, between what pleases God and what displeases God. Truth speaks with specific words that have definite, specific meaning. Truth is not determined by feelings, romance, or sexual attraction. Truth is still the truth regardless of how people feel about it. The truth is the truth, whether it speaks to our hearts or does not speak to our hearts, it's still the truth. And it's absolute or it's not the truth. It can be an idea. It can be an opinion. It just literally by definition can't be the truth. Number three, you guys still with me? Truth is timeless. Truth is timeless. The truth never contradicts itself in different centuries, different eras, or different time periods. Truth does not evolve. By definition, it cannot evolve. Facts can change. Truth does not. Right now in society and culture, we're not experiencing the evolution of truth like so many want us to believe. We're experiencing the abandonment of truth. We're not experiencing the evolution of thought. We're experiencing the abandonment of truth. And here's the reality. Truth can't change. Want to know why truth can't change? Because God can't change. And God is what? God is truth. God is truth, and God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless and the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed for eternity. God does not change. Therefore, truth cannot change. The truth today will never be untrue tomorrow. It can't. I want you to think about where truth, our idea of where truth and what we base our standard. Everyone has a ruler, everyone. There's three possible rulers that people have that they receive truth from. One is God, okay, one is God. One is the self. This is the big anthem. This is the ruler of the day, right, in this time period. It's what I feel, who I think I am. It comes from the self, and I'll talk about that in a second, and that's what most of next week is about, by the way. And then the third option is outside leadership or influence. So the most powerful people in the world or country, influencers, Hollywood, presidents, government leaders, governors, kings, queens of the past, emperors of the past, who say this is truth. Not only the law, it's this is what you believe. This is truth. Now, two of these are very dangerous, and one of them isn't. The self, we go, oh, that sounds like a great idea because everybody should be able to decide for themselves. I'll prove to you, you don't actually believe that. Wanna know why? Because when a pedophile says, I'm going to be true to myself, what will you say? No. You'll say no. Why? Why? Because it's the law, okay? Or it's wrong, according to what ruler? Well, God says it's wrong. And right now, outside leadership says it's wrong. But the danger of self or outside leadership is they change. They change. Well, we'll say, well, because pedophilia is wrong because it's illegal. And then we're over here going, well, there were a whole lot of things celebrated today that were illegal 50 years ago. Laws are gonna change. In the next couple of decades, there will be legislation that goes out. I promise you. For the age of consent to keep lowering and lowering and lowering. It will happen because there is no standard in society that's constant. If we want a changing standard, we're gonna get it. we're gonna get it. Or we could have one that doesn't change. God. And he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Measure everything by what I say. The next few weeks, we'll talk about what we should do in light of this truth, God's truth. But I think it's important for us today to understand that outside leadership, presidents especially, I want you to notice how fast people change their definition of truth, and the masses, by the millions, are following presidents and leaders blindlessly as if every word they say is truth. But how can we trust it if they change their minds so fast? Take a look at this video.
I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law, the Defense of Marriage Act. We've all voted, not where I voted and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman and states must respect that. Nobody's violated that law. There's been no challenge to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
I can remember exactly when my epiphany was.
Okay.
I hadn't thought much about it, to tell you the truth. And I was a senior in high school, and my dad was dropping me off. I remember about to get out of the car, and I looked to my right, and two well-dressed men in suits kissed each other. I mean, they gave each other a kiss. And then one went, looked like he was heading to the DuPont building, and one looked like he headed to the Hercules Corporation building. And I'll never forget, I turned and looked at my dad. He said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other. It's simple. No, I'm not joking. It's simple. They love each other. And it's never been, it's just that simple. It doesn't matter whether it's same sex or a heterosexual couple. You should be able to be married. What is the problem?
You've said that your religious faith dictates that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Would you elaborate on that?
Well, what I believe is that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Why? What in your religious faith calls you to be against gay marriage? Well,
what I believe in my faith is that a man and a woman, when they get married, are performing something before God, and it's not simply the two persons who are meeting.
Today, he became the first president to ever say this.
For me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Well, look, I'm very pro-choice. I hate the concept of abortion. I hate it. I hate everything it stands for. I cringe when I listen to people debating the subject. But you still, I just believe in choice. But
what should the law be on abortion?
Well, I have been pro-life.
I know. What should the law?
Yep, I knew that was going to be quiet. Okay, so. I wanted to show you this because, guys, don't blindly follow anyone. And don't believe the prevailing voice today has been the prevailing voice forever. No one knows the truth unless they're following the truth. No one knows the truth unless they're following the truth. It's timeless. If it's a new truth, live by this. If it's a new truth, it's not the truth. If it's a new truth, it's not the truth. And all the shifting, all the craziness in the world, I don't know about you, but it makes me feel like I'm going crazy. But I'll tell you this, I want a truth that doesn't change, and we have that. We have it. What I learned and memorized as a child, what changed my life as a teenager, what I studied in college, what I devoted my life and career to, what I preach every Sunday in this pulpit, what I teach my kids, what I pass on, what I will pass on to my grandkids, what I will preach in my 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, what will be taught in this pulpit long after I'm gone is the truth that does not change. The thing I teach you today is what I learned in Sunday school as a child. It doesn't change because it's the truth. Number four, truth is demanding, Now, don't get in your head like a demanding person who's like throwing a fit. I mean demanding in the sense of it necessitates a response. We can't just look at truth like a nice idea to ponder. It necessitates a decision. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. The road to heaven is narrow. And when truth is preached and spoken, when truth is out there, I can't look at it and ponder it. I have to decide something. It's the truth. Truth is assertive and commanding. It places a great responsibility at our feet. Truth calls us out and pulls us forward. It calls for our commitment and allegiance. Even Jesus was saying this in his conversation with Pilate in John 18:37. This is why I was born, and for this I come into the world, to testify to the truth. Listen to this wording. Everyone who is on the side of truth. I have literally heard people say, Jesus never drew lines in the sand and he was not about choosing sides, except for when Jesus says it. He says, I'm on the side of truth. And what he's literally doing, philosophically, practically, he is drawing a line in the sand. And he says, those who are on the side of truth, hear my voice and listen to me. And he's implying that there's a side that's not the truth. And the side doesn't hear his voice. They don't listen to him. And it leads to destruction, the deterioration of society, family. And that's what we're experiencing today. I want to ask you this before I go to my last point today. How confident are you, wherever you are on the spectrum of belief, call yourself a Christian, or maybe you're here today and you don't consider yourself a Christian, but you're still engaging your mind and thinking, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're here and staying and engaging. Or you could have been a Christian your entire life. But let me ask you this one question. How confident are you with what you believe that you are with Jesus on the side of truth? How confident are you in that? That when Jesus says this is the truth, that you're on this side and not this side. Because one of the things the Bible does tell us is that there are gonna be countless people who will say, Lord, Lord, one day. And he's gonna say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You wanna know why? We weren't on the side of truth. I think we have to pause sometimes and think about this. And Jesus isn't just dropping this law book on our lap and saying, take it or leave it. What I love about Christianity is Jesus is the Word of God. We serve a God that doesn't teach us how to get to him. We serve a God that came to us. We serve a God that doesn't say, this is how you work to earn something. We serve a God that says, let me do all the work. You don't have to earn anything. I'll give it to you. Salvation. So to say he's not loving, that's we can't do that. But he's love and truth. One of our core values here is that we speak the truth in love. I really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me this week and preparing for this, that those two are one and the same. Truth is love, and that goes to number five, the fifth definition. Truth is loving. It's loving. It's demanding, but it's also loving. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. But here's what's interesting. A lot of people will say, I'll just say this. Can we all agree that there are Christians that are very unloving? Can we just all agree with that? But there are also Christians who are very loving, who spoke the truth, who are called unloving. Can we agree with that too? Because here's what's interesting. People will throw it out at me in the past, not even an argument, but maybe people have tried to make it an argument, and they'll say, how dare you preach this or say this? People will say it online today. Go to YouTube at like 6 o'clock. It'll be there. So here's the thing. When we say this, how dare you do that? That's not loving, that's judgmental. But the problem is, what is the definition of love? If God is love, guess who gets to put the parameters on that word? God. Guess who gets to define love? God. The popular phrase today, love is love. It's popular. If I were to sit down with you and say, can you explain that to me? What does that phrase mean? It sounds really good. I'll tell you a phrase that makes a lot of sense. God is love. And God has a plan and a purpose for love. And if we follow his plan and purpose for love, society will transform. Because what happens is when we are acting as believers on the side of truth and submitting to God as Lord of our lives, and as we read the word of God, we're not saying, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, but as believers saying, I'm gonna come underneath it, then families are transformed, marriages are transformed, society is transformed, schools are transformed, because our job as Christians is to bring heaven to earth now, not just hang on to dear life until we get to heaven. And how we do that is becoming and getting on the side of truth. Think about this. Why is truth loving? It is. Why? Only the truth can tell you who you are. God is truth. Only the truth, God, can tell you who you are, what you are, where you came from, where you're headed, what your purpose is, how to live, who to love, what death is, what eternal life is. And only truth can tell you how to experience eternal life. There is no way anything subjective can tell you any of those things definitely. Because it's subjective. A feeling can't tell me who I am. It can't. There is only one person who can speak to me and tell me who I am at my core. And it's God. There is only one subject that can fill the I am, fill in the blank category in a believer's life. It's I am a child of God. I am of God. I am in Christ. Everything else has to be subject to that. Everything for it to be true. John 8, 31 through 32 says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know what? The truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. The truth will set you free. I hate to burst your parent bubble here for a second, because we've all said this to our kids when they've lied. But this is not, that's not the context for this. I'm sure it works and God won't be mad at you if you say, tell the truth, it will set you free. There's still some truth in that. I shouldn't say truth. There's some good ideas in that. Okay, so the truth is, the context of that is Jesus is saying, I'm the truth. Jesus is saying, I'm the truth. And the truth, Jesus is saying, himself, will set you free. When you get on the side of truth, it's not bondage. That's what everything outside of Christianity wants to tell you about Christianity. If you get into Christianity, let me tell you the shackles that will be on you. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. No. You want freedom in your life? Get on the side of truth. Because Jesus will set you free. Want me to prove it to you? Yeah, I'll prove it to you. If you go to the doctor, and maybe you're out of shape in this season, you're going to the doctor and you're just experiencing health problems. And you go and you're like, doctor, I don't know what's wrong. Like, everything's wrong kind of thing. The doctor's gonna say, well, according to what's happening, I could go to the doctor and they could tell you, do you eat Cinnabon a lot? Mm-hmm, yeah, I do. You know, like, okay. Let me tell you what your problem is, okay? You need to restrict your diet so you can have freedom in your life. That's what the doctor's gonna tell you. If you want freedom and health, then this is what the path looks like. Right? I've never heard a story of a person sitting in a doctor's office going, that is archaic, judgmental, and out of date, and I will not submit to that suggestion. I've never heard of someone saying that to the doctor. We would all go, I know, okay. And because we know there is freedom with restriction. And what Jesus is saying, look, truth, yeah, it's narrow. But let me tell you something, there is freedom in restriction. When you do this with Jesus, then Jesus gives you this with purpose, fulfillment, anxiety begins to deteriorate. There is new hope and new purpose, not because I have gotten into the shackles and bondage of truth, but now I'm on the side with Jesus, who's the author of everything and who is giving me freedom in my life. Because I'm on the side of truth. Why? Because truth is loving. The most loving thing you can do as a parent is to tell your kids the truth when you see them going down the wrong path. We don't avoid the truth with our kids because your definition of love for them depends on it. And it's the same way with God. He tells us the truth because everything depends on it. And it's loving. It's loving. My prayer today is this, that if we're not on the side of truth, that we would look at it again and say, what makes sense? Do I really want to devote my allegiance and my life to the ever-changing tides of what society calls morality and ethics? It's just the tides going in and out for generations. They're always changing. Do I really want to anchor everything into that? The people who are telling you what to believe will not believe what they're telling you to believe in 10 years from now. They will not. Can I prove it to you? Think about yourself 10 years ago. Right now, think about yourself 20 years ago. Imagine what you were doing, who you were dating, what you were thinking. I guarantee you, you're going, me 10 years ago, I was an idiot. You guys ever do that? I can't believe I dated that person, did that thing. You wanna know what that means? In 10 years from now, you're gonna look back at you right now and go, that person was an idiot. Wanna know the good news? We're all idiots. That's the good news. Meaning this, everyone is, to an extent. Meaning this journey that you're going on, we cannot anchor ourselves into something that changes that fast. If I don't anchor myself in God and his word, I'm gonna flip-flop and change what I believe 15 times before my next birthday. Or I can anchor myself into the truth that never changes. I wanna read Psalm 119, 89 through 96, and I'm gonna close with this, and I want this to be our anthem prayer for today and this series, and I would love for this to be our posture as we go forward for the next 4 weeks. So today is just laying the foundation of truth, and I think that this is important. Psalm 119, starting in 89. Standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the word of God. Your faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. All that you created sits firmly in place to testify to you. By your decree, everything stands at attention, for all that you have made serves you, because your words are my deepest delight. Here's my prayer. I didn't give up when all else was lost. I can never forget the profound revelations you've taught me, for they have kept me alive more than once. Lord, I'm all yours, and you are my Savior. You're my Savior. I have sought to live my life pleasing to you. I will set my heart before you to understand more of your ways. I have learned that there is nothing perfect in this imperfect world except your words, for they bring such fantastic, what? Freedom into my life. This will bring you freedom. Freedom. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes today, I wanna pray with all of you. I wanna pray just a prayer over all of you, blessing, but I also wanna pray for any of those today as I'm talking about truth being Jesus, and maybe this is a day where you would love to give your life to Christ. Maybe you thought you did at one point, or maybe you've kind of just been back and forth and back and forth, but today's the day you just wanna go in on the side of truth with Jesus. The truth is, Jesus died on a cross for you. The Bible says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, we've all sinned, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and what he did on the cross for us. He took our place, and what we celebrated last week on Easter, Jesus came out of the grave and did not stay dead. And the Bible says in light of that, all we have to do to be saved is to call in the name of Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. With a posture of humility, as we look at the word of God saying, God, I don't know every detail of that book, but when I read something, Jesus, and it contradicts me, I'm gonna stop, and before I push it away, I'm gonna have the posture of humility before you, and I will begin the journey of change because your word is greater than me, what I feel, and what I think. Pray with me if you would like to step into a life with Christ today, just under your own breath, right where you are. Father, we thank you so much for every person in the room today, but God, there are those today, even if we're not raising hands today, you see hearts. You see hearts that are fully open and surrender to you. And those of us in the room today, Jesus, that are giving our lives to you, we say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I understand that the guilt that I carry because of sin, and today, through an act of repentance, I'm turning from my sin toward you. Oh, Jesus, I know I'm not gonna be perfect. I know I'm still gonna stumble, but I'm giving my life to you, and I'm asking for your grace to keep picking me up when I do fall. But Jesus, I'm yours. Take me in my imperfection. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you're alive and want relationship with me. I fully give my heart and soul to you today. Jesus, I pray for every person in this room that we would all be challenged to be on the side of truth. Every day we want to grow closer and closer to you. And I pray as believers today that we would have postures of humility with everyone we encounter, even those who are hostile against the Bible, against church and Christianity. May we look more like Jesus every day, but stand more for the truth like Jesus also every day. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.